Welcome, everybody, to Health, Wealth, and Divine. My name is Jawanza. Thank you so much for tuning in. I certainly appreciate you. It's a beautiful day, and it's a beautiful day to be alive. It's a beautiful day to sit, listen, and learn. Hope everybody's doing well. Well, we've got a show that's lined up for you that is full of powerful, powerful, powerful information. The title of the show is Preventing Foreclosure. You don't have to lose your home. You know, unfortunately, in life, we are always faced with challenges. And unfortunately, sometimes the challenges involve where you reside. And unfortunately, there are times that people have actually had and been confronted with the very unenviable position of possibly losing their home to foreclosure. Well, this show is going to be about how you can prevent that situation from happening to you. And if for whatever reason it's already happened to you, then we're going to talk about in ways that you can start over. Because you can start over, okay? Hopefully, you won't have to get to that point, but you can start over. Well, my special guest today is the perfect person to talk about this topic. Her name is Donna Stallings, and she serves as the Housing Program Manager for Southside Community Development and Housing Corporation, that's SCDHC, and in her role as SCDHC, she is responsible for administration of the housing program, as well as facilitating financial literacy and home buyer education classes, providing one-on-one credit budget counseling, and pre- and post-purchase home ownership counseling. She also oversees the Virginia Individual Development Account, that's VIDA, matched savings program for the Department of Housing and Community Development. Prior to joining SCDHC, Ms. Stallings was a housing counselor for Virginia Supportive Housing, the director of the Asset Development Center for New Visions, New Ventures, a case manager for Home Again, and a program specialist for Rutherford Benefit Services. Additionally, she has 15 years' experience in the insurance industry, where she assisted with all aspects of life, health, and disability insurance. Ms. Stallings has a BS in Business Administration from Virginia Commonwealth University, and she is also a comprehensive certified housing counselor through the Virginia Association of Housing Counselors, a certified home ownership counselor through Neighborhood, and a certified housing counseling program manager through the National Council of LARADA. Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. I told you, she's qualified to talk about the discussion that we're going to be having today. And she's a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine. It's always a pleasure to have her as my special guest. Welcome back, Donna. It's great to have you back again.
Well, thank you so much. It's good to be on tonight.
You know, as mentioned, the topic that we'll be discussing tonight is really a topic that people should have. There are certain topics that are not dinner time conversations, but they really need to be had prior to certain situations, like, for example, wills and, you know, that sort of thing. They're not, you know, necessarily pleasant topics to talk about, foreclosure prevention, but they're necessary to talk about, yeah, because this is life, and in life, things do happen. And so if you're not prepared, if you haven't talked about it and gotten information from the right people, then, you know, once unfortunate situations come upon you, then you find yourself scrambling or, you know, just don't know what to do. And, you know, there's a lot of information out here that can help. And so to that end, we present this show on housing or foreclosure prevention. So to start it off, if we can, because, I don't like to assume that people even know what certain terms mean. They may have heard it, you know, gotten information from people, not necessarily the right people, but with you being the specialist, you can definitely, you know, fill in the blanks for a lot of people. So just to start the conversation, so people don't just assume they know what it is, what is foreclosure? When a person foreclosed on, what actually has taken place in that situation?
Okay. Foreclosure, it's a legal process that's initiated usually by the lender, and what they do is to acquire the property back and terminate the owner's rights to it. And it's usually a result of a late or missed mortgage payment, and it usually has to be settled before they move forward with foreclosure proceedings.
I'm sorry, it usually has to be what? Oh, several payments.
Several months.
Okay.
Several missed payments.
Mm-hmm.
But each state has different foreclosure timelines, mm-hmm. but for the state of Virginia, it's three missed payments, and then they send out paperwork, so it's more like 120 days before any action really goes forward.
Now, what's interesting about that is, you know, for example, having worked in the industry myself for a while, people are under the misconception that if, for whatever reason, they fall behind, let's say they miss a payment, or let's say they miss two payments, you know, they might say, well, okay, call the lender or whatever and say, okay, listen, I'm getting ready to run past the bank and, you know, make a payment. And, you know, and the lender's like, well, no, you need to make two payments, okay? We don't take partial payments. This isn't like a
right.
credit card. Pay a little something on it, you know.
They don't take partial payments unless they're under a special workout option.
Mm-hmm.
But you're correct. If you can't make the one, then they won't take the partial. They'll require you to do two, and
mm-hmm.
and we'll talk about kind of some of the workout options that they have a little later on.
Okay. Well, again, I want to thank you so much for being my guest today, because again, this information that we're going to present is so necessary, because home ownership is still the American dream. I mean, you know, people want to own a home. Everybody that, you know, you have young couples that get married and they're, you know, starting a family and they want to see their children playing in the big backyard and, you know, and if not careful, this dream can turn into a nightmare. And so, again, I want to thank you for being my special guest today, because just the information that you'll be sharing is going to be so beneficial to so many people. And I just want everybody to know that if you have a question, all you have to do is press 1, and then I can bring you on board. If you're listening online, the number to call in on is 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727. Donna, what would you say? I know with you being a counselor and so forth, some of the misconceptions when it comes to foreclosure that people, like, for example, one we just talked about, thinking they can make one payment as opposed to bringing the account current. Any other misconceptions that you might have come across that we can clear up?
Well, first and foremost, thinking it's hopeless, that you're going to automatically lose the home. The banks really are trying to work harder to work with people, because after the mortgage crisis, of course, there was a lot of backlash for the amount of homes and the ways that they foreclosed on people. So they really don't want to foreclose on homes right now. So there are a lot of different workout options. But the first thing that people need to remember, and you touched on it a little bit when you talked about people want that American dream,
mm-hmm.
but the best thing, or the first step, is making sure that you're getting the education on the front end. Because if you go through the right steps, hopefully with the pre-purchase part, then hopefully you'll never have to see the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do, don't ignore the problem. Because anything can happen. We can do everything right in the beginning, but maybe somebody loses a job. Or someone gets sick and they can't work. There are all kinds of things that happen that reduce our income or eliminate it altogether. So the first thing to do once this happens is to contact the lender. See, most people are in denial for a little bit, and then by the time they get out of the denial, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
So when you got, they start getting those notices from the lender, they need to open them and respond. Now, that seems elementary, but you would be surprised at how many people come to meet with us because now they have a foreclosure sale date, and they come in the office with all of this mail that hasn't even been opened, and all the letters were from the lender trying to work something out with them.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing they have to do is don't ignore the problem. You're not the first person to go through this. You won't be the last. It happens. You know, it doesn't mean you did anything wrong, you know, but there are some options for you. So they need to do away with that myth that if I lose my job, I'm going to lose my home automatically. That's not true. So once you contact the lender, then they'll start talking to you about options. And then sometimes people do try to do that on their own, and they're unsuccessful and they get discouraged. But you can also contact a certified housing counseling agency such as ours, or there are others in the area or all over the country that can assist you as an advocate to work with your servicer and work with the lender to help get that workout option, you know, executed. Because some people just don't, bottom line, they don't know their rights. And so understanding the process is key.
And the way to understand the process is, like you mentioned, is to contact the lender, you know, or a housing counselor, a specialist. Because sometimes, I mean, I've heard so many stories about people who got information from their friends, you know, they had an uncle, you know, or somebody gave them, you know, particular information. And because they wanted to believe, for example, here's one. One that people would constantly say is, well, you know, I decided I was going to get a loan modification, and I was told that all I have to do is just miss a few payments, and then that would qualify me automatically, you know, that will show that, you know, there's a hardship, and then, you know, they'll automatically grant me the the loan modification. Well, what happens in that is, what if you don't get it? What if, for whatever reason, you don't qualify for the loan mod, for whatever reason, and now you're 3 months, you done missed three payments, you know, then, you know, so could you talk about
this? You're in trouble, and that, you're in a bad situation at that point, because now you've wasted 3 months, ruin your credit, so it'll be hard for you to, you know, say if you decide, okay, I do want to walk away from this deal. It may be harder now because you've got these missed payments.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that they need to do, and I've even told and advised people that even if, like, some people lose their job and they get severance, or they get some kind of payout, you know, option. So they really, you know, aren't behind. And so the question was posed to me, well, should I go ahead and pay my mortgage up 6 months? Or should I, because that's how much severance pay I got, or should I contact the lender now, let them know what's going on, because right now I'm not late.
Mm-hmm.
But the advice is to always let the lender know. Because even though you're not late, if it's right, at least for right now and to the end of 2016, they have a workout option that's called HAMP, and it's a affordable home plan that usually has to do with loan modifications, like you mentioned. But there's certain requirements to be able to get a loan modification. And under that program, if there's what they call imminent default, meaning I'm not behind right now, but it's likely that I'm going to be if I don't get another job and stay on top of my bills. Because even though you're getting a severance pay, it's going to run out eventually. So you need to let the lender know ahead of time so they can consider what kind of options you have. So I would not recommend paying it ahead, you know, 6 months, because you don't know what might happen that where you might need that money.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you for a moment if we could even just talk about the importance of even, and then we talked about this in a prior show, but, you know, it's related. We talked about credit counseling and personal finance, and all that's important when it comes to, you know, home foreclosure prevention. Could you talk about the importance of having savings, even as this would fall under the personal finance, I guess, but even having a savings as you decide upon embarking upon the process of home ownership? You know, I spoke to a lady one time who called a lender and said that this was her situation. She stated that she had been unemployed for 3 years, but had enough money saved up that for 3 years she didn't have to work. And she still had about 6 months to go prior to her savings running out. And so she was calling, trying to get a loan modification, but she was starting that process, like, you know, you gave an example. She started that process early. She started that process about 6 months before her savings ran out. She figured, just like you made in your example, somebody, you know, what if they don't have a job by then? But she had made it for 3 years just, I mean, her unemployment, I guess, had long run out, but she had enough things to hold her for 3 years, and even with that, she still had 6 months left to go before her funds were going to run out. And so she was calling, trying to see if she could get a loan mod, get that process going before, you know, the funds actually ran out completely. So if you could talk about just the need for a nest egg. You can never have too much money.
Oh,
you know?
Yes, you definitely can't. I can't stress that enough, that you need to have a savings. And even if, you know, a lot of people get discouraged when they hear that, you know, the financial planner saying, oh, you need to have 6 months of salary, you know, for of salary or expenses, to cover your expenses. And the problem with that is when people hear that and they feel like they can't achieve that, so then they don't do anything. So my advice is, do not be overwhelmed by, you know, the thought of saving a nest egg. Just start somewhere. You know, if you can't do $100 a month, do 50. If you can't do 50, do 25. If you can't do 25, do 5. Do something so that you establish that pattern of saving. It becomes a habit, and then as you make more money, then start then putting in more. But you've got to start somewhere. And, you know, I listen to, you know, some of the financial shows, and you've got your Dave Ramsey's and your Susie Orman's and all, you know, different financial planners. Michelle Singleton is a really good author and financial planner out of Washington, D.C. I think she writes for the Washington Post. But she keeps it real, you know, and she deals with the bottom line is, too, is really managing your money, because most people will tell you they don't have anything left to save. But then when you look at where their money is going, just cutting back on, you know, a couple of Starbucks coffees, that's $5 right there. You know, so saving up front may cause you to not have the heartache later, but it's the discipline people have to learn. Most of us don't know or have not been taught how to save. So we really do have to prepare for that rainy day. And then when it comes, like I said, please don't ignore it. We have to, you know, not be afraid. Look at what's happening and take the steps to deal with it. Because if you don't do that, then it is going to be a problem. But there are so many different things. You know, you mentioned loan modification, but there's also forbearance. There's also repayment plan. And then there's also the deed in lieu of short sale. I mean, there's just so many different things. And, you know, I'll explain those a little bit further in detail in a few minutes. But just starting somewhere with the savings in the beginning, that helps you to build that nest egg for later. And then once it happens, even if, you know, they do experience that, then they know that there is something that they can do and they don't have to bury their head in the sand. That's what most people do, unfortunately.
And people need to, I think, understand where they are. And when I mean that, I mean actually, literally, locale-wise, because there are different states that have different laws. So whereas in Virginia, it's 3 months that you can miss before the foreclosure proceedings start. In another state, it could be like Florida, you know, it could be 6 months. I mean, it could be, I mean, I've known people to be in their homes in Florida for a couple of years, you know what I mean?
Right. And there were a couple of people that we've counseled that have not paid a payment and been in their house for years. But usually that's in the areas that were hardest hit. And so the banks and the courts are so backed up. That's why it took so long. But that's not the norm. But I have heard several cases where that has happened.
You know, Donna,
yeah.
If you could talk about for a moment just priorities here, because I think it's a very important topic when it comes to staying in your home. Because, you know, I've heard you, you know, speak before, and I think that the information that you gave was just so powerful about even people having priorities. You know, there are certain things that when you have a home that you're going to have to cut back on if you don't, if you're not a millionaire or whatever. You know, you might have to limit the amount of times you get your hair done. You know, if you're paying, you know, a couple $100, you know, to get your hair done, or if you want your nails done every week or whatever, if this is a big chunk, you know, out of your money, you know, but you have a mortgage now. And it's not like before where, you know, you might have been just had an apartment or whatever. You still had to pay your rent. But,
right.
You know, there's unexpected expenses that come along with owning a home that you just might not have that extra cash for.
Exactly. You definitely have to prioritize your spending and look at the places where your money is going. See if there's anything that you can eliminate, even if it's just temporarily. And really, because we do what we call a crisis budget when someone is like at that last minute type of thing, when they're really having to do some workouts. And in that crisis budget, it's basically only the things that you have to pay. You know, so that cable might need to get cut off.
Mm-hmm.
The hair. You may not be able to go every 2 weeks. And if you're, I know people who not only pay to get their hair done, but they're paying for their daughters and stuff like that. And so they may have to go back to the old-fashioned way that our parents did when they did our hair, you know. And so there's definitely going to be a change in your spending when you're going through a foreclosure prevention recovery, because it's not easy. And, you know, depending on what someone's situation is, everything could totally be out of their control. But at some point, we got to figure out a way to get through it. And so some of the things that they do is, of course, using the assets that they do have, if they do have some savings, retirement, things like that. Hopefully they don't have to dip into the retirement, but what they're going to do is assess all of the assets that they do have and then compare that to the expenses that they have and kind of structure a realistic budget that they can you know, come to. And then, and that's when it's good to work with the counseling agency, because the counselor will work with you to negotiate with the lender, because a lot of people don't know where to start. They're overwhelmed by the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just kind of wait to the end, because I guess they're waiting for some miracle job or whatever, and so they're not doing anything. But it's important to contact them, because that's when you find out what the deadlines are, if there's a sale date. If they're, you know, I've had people call and say, well, there was somebody out here taking pictures of my home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that means you've waited a long time, you know, and they're coming out to assess the value of the home, because
mm-hmm.
they're likely getting ready to sell it. So you don't want to wait till it gets to that point. We also tell people don't abandon the home, because there are times, there's a lot of times they will give you cash to relocate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes they call it cash for keys. There's different programs. That's why I'm saying people have to not just assume that they're going to lose it. You know, during the mortgage crisis, a whole lot of people just walked away. They just abandoned home. They just said, I can't do it, and I'm going to walk away. The other thing to think about on the front end with the pre-purchase part, and why we are so strict about it when we are approving people for down payment assistance and getting into their homes, is making sure that house is sustainable for a period of time. Like, one of our requirements is that they need to buy a house that is not likely that you're going to have any repairs for about 5 years, because
okay.
that will give you time to save up that nest egg you were talking about. But if you get into a house that's old and a fixer-upper and things like that, you're going to be getting into a money pit, you know, and it's going to be hard for you to save. And honestly, the reason a lot of people have lost their homes, it isn't always about the loss of a job. It's about having so many repairs that you can't afford to make the repairs and pay the mortgage too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that comes in with the planning and being really realistic about what you can really afford, and trying to make sure that you're buying a house that's got, you know, good, safe, decent, and affordable, so that you won't have a lot of repairs in the first few years. I mean, because, of course, over time, you know, you own a house 15, 20, 30 years, you're going to have to maintain it, and you're going to have to put some money in it to do that. But you should not have any major repairs or things like that within the first 5 years.
You know, Don, if we could talk about briefly just the fact that when you buy a home, you have put your roots down. You know, you kind of, you know, put your stake in the ground and said, I'm here, okay? But now you have to do what is necessary to maintain that place, that square footage that's yours now that you're buying. And the house
mm-hmm.
technically yours until you paid that last note on it, okay? It's not yours,
right.
really, you know, until you
right.
paid that last note. So when, for example, I've heard stories of people being late because, you know, my uncle just died, and, you know, we just had a funeral, and the funeral was in Chicago, and I had to fly out to Chicago to the funeral, and that was why I wasn't able to pay the mortgage. Now, I may sympathize with that, okay? But the lender is like, okay, it's not like, for example, if in credit repair, if you're getting your credit straight or whatever, and you've gotten yourself together and you're talking to a lender and the underwriter wants a letter to explain why you missed a few payments, and you can write that letter and explain it, and then everything's okay. It's not like you can just write the bank or the lender and say, oh, listen, you know, the reason I'm a couple months late is my uncle died in Chicago, and I had to go to the funeral, and so, you know, I'm good. Can you just take this payment and stick it on the back end now? You know, it just doesn't work. It's not that simple a process. Well, I've heard stories where somebody may say, well, I'm late because the reason I'm a couple of months behind is because I have a grown child in college, and, you know, I was helping her with the tuition. you know, or whatever. And so I wasn't, you know, that's what caused me to be, that's what caused me to be late. My point here is that there are sometimes in life, as much as you may want to, you just can't do it. I mean, because of your obligations. There might be funerals that you can't make if it's out of town. The choice is either you pay your mortgage or you go to the funeral. You might have to send a card or send some flowers or something, you know. But
or
you
go
just
to
might
visit
have...
them later, visit the family later when you have time to save up and pay for that plane ticket or, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. Because, I mean, that's actually has happened, you know, in my family. I remember when my mom's sister passed away, and my sister and her husband lived in Arizona at the time. And so you're talking two plane tickets across the country? That just wasn't possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the family understood, you know. Mm-hmm. And then just last year, one of my mother's relatives passed away, and we were away on vacation, and the cost of what it would have taken for us to try to travel there, it just was not doable. So the next holiday that came up, then we went to visit the family and, you know, express our condolences and spend some time with them. But you do, you're exactly right. You have to realize that you can't always do everything you want to do. And that even goes with Christmas presents and birthday presents, things that people go, you know, over in abundance and doing that they really don't have to do. It's nice if you can afford to do those things. Like I had a roommate once who was always, every week it seemed like someone on her job was a bridal shower or a baby shower or a birthday, and she was always buying all these lavish gifts. And I told her, I said, well, I thought you wanted to buy a house. And she says, well, I do. I said, well, the money that you're shelling out on these gifts for people that you just work for, these aren't even really your friends.
Right.
You need to let people know what you're trying to do and that I celebrate with you and here's a card, but all of my money right now is going into saving for my down payment. And just really being honest with people and not attaching, you know, we attach our emotions to money too much. You know, if we could separate our emotions from our money, we'd be a lot better off, because a lot of times that's what gets people into buying the house they can't afford or buying the car they can't afford or all the lavish presents, because they are equating that, you know, well, if I have these things, if I do these things, that I'm going to be worthy. No, you're worthy to begin with, and those other things are just, you know, gifts. But you need to do that within your means. It's not going to make or break you whether you can, you know, have the big house. You know, someone once told me, don't be impressed by people that have big houses and fancy cars, because that just means they have a lot of bills, you know, or a lot of debt. Unless they're super, super rich, which most people are not. And so most people can't just pay cash for a house. Or, you know, if they have a luxury car, they're usually not paying cash for that either. So that means they have debt.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to learn to live within your means. And I mean, I'm not insinuating at all that anyone that loses their home or is in danger of losing their home is living outside of their means, because that's not the case. But if it is imminent to happen, though, there are going to be some changes that you're going to have to make in your lifestyle, especially if you want to keep that home. And then sometimes there's just a hard decision that you have to make, and this is the one that's the hardest for counselors to work with, when you've done all of the review and trying to make it work, and it just can't, then that person has to start thinking of their transition options. Because, say, for instance, the example you used where the person had been out of work for 3 years, and maybe it just doesn't seem like, maybe they're in a specialized field, and they just may not get a job for a while. Well, if you've got $1,000 a month payment that you have no way of paying, at some point you've got to accept that I can't keep this house. And a trainer that I sat under once told, and some of the class people thought it was cool, but it was the truth. He said, if you can't pay, you can't stay. And that's one of the things that counselors have the hard job of doing, is getting to the point where they have to recognize there's no other option here. They're going to have to move.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say 95% of the people that come to us for counseling, they want to stay in the home. And we try and do everything that we can to make that happen. But there are a small percentage of the time that there's nothing that anybody can do. There's no way, you know, you can't live somewhere for free when you have a loan on it. So in those instances, then we have to work with the homeowner on their transition option. Do they have a relative they can stay with or something, you know?
Have you found, Donna, that when it comes to people coming to you for counseling, that it's difficult for them to come and actually sit down and open up? I mean, you take a couple, let's say, for example, they come to you for counseling, and, I mean, there may be shame involved, you know, just the fact that they're in that situation, you know.
Oh,
I don't
sure.
know if it's like somebody going to marriage counseling or something, and they just don't really want to be there, you know. And, of course, nobody
yeah,
wants to be
in
counseling.
We get that all the time. That's very, very common. Because, like I said, a lot of people think that they're the only one that's going through this, that there's something, you know, to be embarrassed about. And, yes, there are a lot of people that feel, you know, ashamed to be in that situation. But, you know, honestly, like I was saying before, people lose their homes for all kinds of reasons, and most of the time it is not because of anything that they did wrong. So even though it's easy to say, people have no reason to be embarrassed, they have no reason to be ashamed, a lot of people still are.
Mm-hmm.
And they really do have to get to a point to move beyond that embarrassment and beyond that shame and see if there's a way to get out of, you know, the current situation. Can I get a loan modification? Do I qualify for a forbearance or even a deed in lieu? A loan modification is where the terms of the loan are changed. So, you know, sometimes it's the interest rate. Sometimes they put things on, they change the loan where maybe they extend the time of pay, so that will lower their payment and make it more affordable. A forbearance allows the payments to be suspended or reduced for a period of time to give them that time to find that job or, you know, to give them a chance to get back on their feet. And so sometimes it's just a matter of that they need a little bit of time. So, you know, the forbearance allows them to do that. With partial claims, that's one you don't see a whole lot, but the lender will advance funds to reinstate the loan. They allow them to make this partial payment that they set aside. I guess the person is making payments, and then once they get to a certain point, then it reinstates the loan. But there are a lot of stipulations to that one, so you don't see that one as much. The short sale, or what they call a pre-foreclosure sale, a lot of times is the one that people want to do. If they're ready to move and they can sell the house, what they do is ask the lender to allow them to sell the property for less than what the borrower owes,
mm-hmm.
so they can get rid of it. But you have to get that approved by the lender because, you know, the lender's going to take a loss. So that is an option for the person who does not have an income. There's no way they can stay in the house. That is a transition option. Let me go ahead and sell it. But if I can sell it for for less than what, so I can get rid of it, you know, quicker and, you know, move on. And then the deed in lieu is where they just actually turn the property back over to the lender, and it's not going to be as much counted against them. But you have to go through the other steps first. That's like the last transition option. And that has to be approved as well by the lender. You just can't go and say, okay, I'm going to turn this back into you. You know, and a lot of people do the same thing with a car. They'll tell me all the time, you know, why turn the car back in? And I'm like, well, that was nice of you to do that, but that's still considered a repossession. It's just a voluntary repossession because you did it before they came to do it to you. And so depending on the lender and the situation, it may still, you know, count against you. But the good thing is, though, no matter what the workout option, no matter the effect that it has on the credit for that moment, you still can recover from it. Mm-hmm. You know, most people, after they've gone through a foreclosure, even one where there really wasn't a workout, they, you know, the bank came and took the house back, they could be considered for a new home loan after 3 or 4 years, depending on the reason for the foreclosure and how it was handled. Mm-hmm. If they show that they tried to responsibly rectify the situation and didn't just walk away and say forget about it, they can own a home again. But it has to be at least 3 years. Yeah,
that's important.
And you know your work. When that happens, that's when you know you have to work to rebuild credit, though. It doesn't automatically just happen. But in that 3 years, you want to be working to rebuild the credit.
You know, that's an aspect of it that people might be listening. You know, this is about foreclosure prevention, but there may be somebody out there that's saying, well, look, I've already been foreclosed on. You know, what about me? You know, how do I reestablish my credit, you know? And how long does it normally stay? You say 3 or 4 years? Because there are some people.
Yeah,
that,
well, it'll actually stay on the credit for 7 years, but it won't affect you as much after 3 years. You have to have at least 3 years from the date of foreclosure, where it was, and this is important, I'm glad this came to my mind, that the mortgage has been out of their name. So one thing people have to make sure to keep on top of is that their name is no longer on the mortgage. Because we have people sometimes that foreclosed, maybe they even put the house in a bankruptcy and surrendered it, you know, and gave it back. But they didn't, you know, it didn't come out of their name until the bank sold the property and took the deed out of their name. And so if we had someone here recently who put the house in a bankruptcy in 2010, but they did not actually foreclose and sell the home until February of 2015. So now that person is not eligible to buy a home again until 2018, when they thought it was going to be 3 years from the 2010 when they surrendered it.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't actually get sold.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing you have to really think about, because when it was in a bankruptcy, and it was in a bankruptcy that was a 5-year bankruptcy. So they filed in 2010. The 5 years was up in 2015. So then that's when the bank sold it. So it did not come out of her name until 2015. So now she's got to wait 3 more years to buy a home again. So it's important to know all of those stipulations and all of those little things that people forget about, and you know, and if they're contacted by somebody, and it's saying, you know, you got to stop foreclosure meeting. We can help you do this. We can. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting notifications and it's not from your bank, you need to call your bank. You need to call your lender
mm-hmm.
and make sure that it's not a scam.
You know what I think happens in situations like that is that I think people are more open to be scammed when they've talked to their lender and it doesn't
mm-hmm.
appear, you know, that they think the lender's the bad guy, right? They think the lender's not trying to work with them. You know, they said the lender, they said I didn't qualify for the loan mod. And now here,
mm-hmm.
you know, Joe Blow's coming out of the blue saying, oh, so you need a loan mod, do you? You know, I can help you with that, you know. And
right.
so I think that people are probably more open to be scammed when they have tried to work with the bank or the lender and they found that, you know, they were at a stage where, you know, they probably went too far without making payments and there's just nothing that they can do. And then all of a sudden, they're more susceptible, shall I say, to somebody coming along now to get that letter in the mail. And how these people find out and know that, you know, that is interesting. But, yeah, I think that that's probably when people are most open to be scammed. And I want to say this here before I forget myself is that when people, if you find yourself in a position and you're, you know, behind on payments and so forth, it is important that you, at the very least, try to come up with the past due as soon can. Because if that account gets turned over to the legal department, you might come running through the door and it's like, okay, look, I got the $7,000 that I need. And then at this point, it's like, oh, no, that went to the legal department. Now you've got to pay attorney's fees, you know,
mm-hmm.
current, you know.
Yeah.
So that's
and now,
that's,
and even, you know, bankruptcy, Chapter 13 bankruptcy can stop a foreclosure, but what people need to understand is it takes care of their arrears, but they still want you to make the current payment. So that's what people need to understand, that, you know, when you file a Chapter 13 bankruptcy and your house is included in that, it does stop the foreclosure, but you still are having to make payments, and that's what people need to understand. So if you have no way of making the payments, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And a bankruptcy dismissal, which we talked about on the previous phone calls, is not the same as a bankruptcy discharge. What the dismissal means is I'm not able to keep up my payments. I didn't keep up my payments, and so the court dismissed our original arrangement, and now those lenders can come after me again, which means they can now foreclose on my home. So you need to consider all of that when you're trying to figure out what workout option you're going to explore.
So important to talk to your lender. To talk,
yes.
You have to be educated about this process. And for those who have children, when I say children, I don't mean, you know, little kids, but you talk to them about it too. But
mm-hmm.
definitely young people, young adults who
yes.
are contemplating getting married and, you know, or
mm-hmm.
living together in an apartment and thinking about getting a home, there are things that you just have to know. You cannot, you know, not necessarily, not saying that your uncle and your aunt and your cousins or whatever aren't not intelligent, but, you know, you have to ask yourself, well, how do you know? You know, when getting advice from somebody, well, what makes you the expert? You know, I shared with you every reason why you should be listening to Donna Stallings today. You heard her resume, okay? She's qualified to talk about this. So when you're getting advice from people that mean well, you know, every situation, every circumstance is different, you know? So
right.
just because
it really is.
Just because they may have gotten a loan mod or something, their situation does not mean that you qualify for it, you know. So definitely ask questions of the right people because, again, this is your dream, and you don't
right.
want this dream to turn into a nightmare, and it can because life happens. But I think the good part is that, you know, you can start over. You know, God forbid you should ever lose your home. But even if you did, there are countless people out here that have testimonies that, you know, can share that, hey, I started over, you know what I mean? And, you know, I learned from that, and, you know, it'll never happen to me again because, you know, I know what I did wrong. And I want to say this too, Donald, before we go, because I remember I spoke to a guy one time who called, and he was talking about how he was blaming his wife, really, for the situation that happened, because he was like, you know, man, you know, when my wife told me that we could afford this house, you know, he said, man, something kept telling me, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But no, mm-hmm. I'm going to listen to her. Now look at us here. Now I'm sitting up here on the phone talking to you because, you know, instead of going with my own mind, I knew we couldn't afford it. But she was just so happy. You know, she was just so excited. You know, he said, I didn't want to take that excitement away from her. But now mm-hmm. here he was, the excitement was taken away from her. You know, so.
Right.
You go into it, right? If you know you're not ready to purchase, this could be the biggest purchase of your life. If you know you're not ready, then don't just forge ahead because your mate likes the house. You know what I mean? Don't just forge ahead because, oh, she's so excited or, you know, he loves it. If you can't afford it, at this time, this doesn't mean you won't be able to afford it maybe next year or maybe the following year. But, Donna, could you talk about this before we go? Just, Anita, if you feel like you've got to go out and let's say you can't afford it on your 9-to-5. You know, you might have a two-income household. You can't afford it on both of your 9-to-5s, and you're saying, okay, well, I can get a part-time job. You know what I mean? And that will afford. Do you want to get a part-time job for 30 years?
Exactly. And that's what I ask people all the time. I mean, what you really need to do is to find a house that's in, you know, beneath your means, so that if mm-hmm. one person loses a job or if you don't want to work that part-time job anymore, and that's why most lenders require you to be on working that job for 2 years before they'll even count that income.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my question to people all the time is, are you going to want to work a part-time job for 30 years? Because if you don't, then you don't need to use that income to qualify you and for your affordability of your house. Now, that might be something that you have to do, you know, to prevent foreclosure. And, again, having that strict spending plan and, you know, restructuring the way that you do some things that maybe you've been doing that way for years, but it really hasn't helped you to be able to get on top of things. But we have a tendency of just maxing ourselves out and not having that cushion. Yes, you might have two incomes, but do you have to buy a house based on two incomes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could get a house based on one income and stockpile and save a lot. And then, mm-hmm. you know, there's also your first house, and then you move up to your second house and third house, you know, to ultimately get your dream house. But most people don't start out
mm-hmm.
getting the dream house.
That's right. That's right. Good point. Good point. You know, this information is so, again, so powerful, so necessary. It's not a dinner time topic, but it should be. You know, it really should be. If these type of conversations were had at the dinner table, and in some communities they are had at the dinner table, but in others, unfortunately, they're not. But it needs to be, and I want everybody to know that's listening, this show is about to be archived. So if you happen to be in a situation where you know, need to hear this information again, you can listen to the show again. And if you know of somebody that is in need of this information, you know, share it with them, because Donna Stallings is an expert at this. This is what she does, okay? She is certified, she is qualified, and, you know, you definitely want to make sure that the information that you get concerning something as important as this comes from somebody that actually knows the process, knows how it works, knows how, I mean, from the front end to the back end and every place in between can take you and show you how to maximize your potential as it relates to you getting a home and staying in the home. You know, now, Donna, for people that are in the Virginia or Richmond area, how could they reach you if there's somebody out there that heard this show and they're like, you know what, I really need to talk to her because I'm just finding my back against the wall. The letters are coming, and I'm scared to open them. Sure. How can they reach you?
Okay. Well, we do have a housing specialist who deals with the foreclosure. I mean, I can help, but she's our specialist in our office, the counselor that deals with the foreclosure the most. And her name is Felicia Bowling. That's B-O-L-L-I-N-G. Her phone number is the same as mine, but the extension is different. So her phone number is 804-231-4449, extension 101. I'm sorry, 102. My extension is 101. So okay. If you want to reach either one of us, it's 804-231-4449, extension 101 or extension 102. They also can go to our website and download a foreclosure intake packet, mm-hmm. and it will tell them the things that they need to get together to have in place when they, you know, contact us for an appointment. Mm-hmm. Because there's certain documentation, you know, that we can help them upload to the lender, and there's certain things that they ask for, such as tax returns, pay stubs, all those things that they need to determine if they, you know, qualify for a loan modification or whatever particular workout option that there is. So they can go on our website, and that's www.scdhc.com.
You know, I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for this information today because, again, there's so many people out there that are afraid to have this conversation. It's like, you know, that denial thing is real. When people go into denial, and it's like, if I just don't think about it, then, you know, I'll just pray about it, and, you know, it'll just go away. Nothing wrong with prayer, but, you know, hey, you gotta do something.
You
really have to do something.
Yes, you do. You know? Yes, you do. So, yes, don't ignore it anymore. Now it's the time to get on top of things and talk to the lender and see what it is that you can do. And you really want to do it now. Don't wait any longer because, you know, when the administrations change, we don't know what programs will be cut. And so right now that the HAMP program, which is the loan modification program that I told you about, it's supposed to end on December 31st, 2016, and it's been extended for a few years now. You know, President Obama has extended it a couple of times because people are still struggling. But we don't know if the next administration, whoever that may be, will continue to extend it. So if people think that they're in danger, now is the time to seek help while they have these programs in place.
Awesome information, Donna. I really appreciate you for being my special guest again. Now, for those who might not know you're listening for the first time or new to Health, Wealth, and Divine, Donna Stallings has also done shows on credit repair and personal finance, and those shows are in the archives as well. So if you are in the process of buying a home or just thinking about buying a home and you just need, you know, to get your credit together and, you know, some things like that, then just please go check out the archive shows. Again, Donna Stallings, Donna M. Stallings, and then that's Credit Repair and Personal Finance, and listen to those shows. Again, you can share those links with other people who you may know that are in the process of thinking about even buying a home. So that way, I guarantee you, if you listen to the personal finance show and the credit reporting shows and you follow the instructions in those shows, then you won't ever have to deal with a show like the one that we had today, okay, talking about foreclosure prevention. But it's very important that you have this information so that you know the process and that you're hearing the process from an expert. And we want you to know that there's hope, and that is what this show was for, to give you hope, because you got to know that you can overcome this, but in case you just didn't know how the process works, now you know how it works. And if you found yourself in a situation where, you know, it just was just too late, know that you can start over. Donna, thank you so much for being my special guest today. I certainly appreciate it. Any parting words for our listeners?
Well, thank you so much for having me. And again, if you're struggling or you just need some help, maybe even doing a spending plan or knowing what the options are, please give us a call. Visit our website. If you're not in the state of Virginia, you can also go on, I believe, and call 1-800-HOPE-NOW, and they'll give you a list of other counseling agencies across the country who have these programs as well.
Everybody, that is Donna M. Stallings. Awesome, awesome information. Thank you so much. We're going to see if we get her back as soon as possible, because information like this is priceless, and we need it. So thank you so much again, my friend. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
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 Everybody, that is Donna M. Stallings. Awesome, awesome interview. Great information. And we at Health, Wealth, and Divine want to bring you information that you can use. We've got shows on spirituality. We've got shows on your health. We've got shows on your wealth. I mean, see, it's all about, it's holistic. I mean, yeah, we got shows on spirituality, but we also want to make sure that once you're well, that you can live down here, and there's a way and there's a process, and, you know, we just got to find out and talk about how to make it down here. So we're going to try to bring you the experts, okay, people that are experts in their field, so that when you are confronted with a life situation, whether it be regarding your health, we're going to bring you shows on spirituality. We're going to bring you shows on how you can, for example, avoid foreclosure if necessary, okay? So, again, my name is Jawanza. Thank you so much for your time. It's truly an honor and a blessing for me to be able to come and speak with you today. And I thank you for tuning in. Peace and blessings, everybody. Talk to you soon. This is Health, Wealth, and Divine.